Amen. God is my all in all. Amen. I don't neglect, we also receive where that Mother Maggie, Peggy Thomas is in the hospital, so we're asking that you'll pray for her as well. Amen. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning. God, we thank you. We praise you, God, for what you do, Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, we praise you for who you are, God. For no other reason, we can praise you just because you are God. And that you are good, Heavenly Father, Lord. You are majestic, Lord. And so, God, we ask that you'll let us hear from you today. God, that we might receive nourishment for our souls, God. Bless your name today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go. Oh, yeah, yeah. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalm. Very familiar Psalm, Psalm 100. Very familiar. Psalm is only five verses long, but it's packed with so much. And I think that I would do a disservice if I tried to pack it all into my 15 minutes. So we're going to extend this to next week as well. So there will be a continuation. But I want to lift one verse, the very first verse. And it simply says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This psalm was written as an invitation. It's an invitation to worship. And that's what we're going to title this message, the invitation to worship. God is inviting all of us to worship him. Listen here, worship is one of the most profound and intimate expressions of our relationship with God. But in a world filled with so many distractions and superficial displays of faith, the authenticity of our worship can sometimes be questioned. What does it mean to worship God? How can we ensure that our worship is genuine, deep, and pleasing to God? Today we're going to look at and explore what it means to have authentic, heartfelt worship that reflects our true relationship with God. True worship is more than just ritual and routine. It is a sincere response to who God is and what he has done in our lives. It encompasses every aspect of our being, our heart, our minds, our soul, and our strength. And through the lens of biblical examples, such as David, we see what true worship is. It is a deep reverence and respect for an almighty God. And understand that our praise and our worship is both constructive and contagious. It's constructive in the fact that it changes the worshiper's perspective concerning his situation. In other words, you can begin to praise God and forget all about your problems. And I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I've been there before where I just began to praise God and forgot all about my problems that I had. So it changes the attitude of the worshiper. But it can also be contagious. In other words, when we begin to pray, you set the tone for the atmosphere. It's not just your attitude, but it's the atmosphere that changes when you begin to worship and praise God in spirit and in truth. Listen, there's a story that was told at the turn of the century, the great outbreak of the flu that had happened in the upstate New York community. The hospitals began to fill up. The workers, the nurses, the doctors began to be overwhelmed. They were working overtime and sometimes double shifts. But they did not let it get them down. Instead of getting down and getting frustrated about it, they decided that they would put together a choir. And during their on their break time, they would get in the corridors and they would begin to sing songs of Zion unto the Lord. And before you know it, they forgot about the overwhelming things that they had going on at the hospital. And they began to praise and worship God. Their morale returned. They had enthusiasm. They were energetic about their jobs. But here's the real good part about this. Even the patients began to get involved in this whole thing, this concept. People were being healed because they were beginning to rejoice and give God praise. And so not only did it change the workers' perspective, but it also affected the people who were around them. And that's how praise and worship work. That's how genuine praise and worship works. This is what God desires. This is what God is seeking. He's seeking genuine worshipers that might worship him. Don't you know that that's the reason why we were created in the first place, is to worship and to honor God? God blessed us with a voice to be able to sing songs of Zion. I don't care whether you can hold a note or not. You can still sing. Because listen here, God is not necessarily listening to the tune. He's looking at the heart. So even if you're off key, still sing songs of Zion unto the Lord. It does not matter, because God hears what's coming from your heart. Real worship comes from the heart. It comes from the inside of an individual. It's not about how gifted or talented you are. There's a whole lot of gifted and talented people out there that don't know nothing about worship. But it's what's come from the inside. It's what comes up. Here, this is what the psalmist is saying. He said, you're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, well, joyful noise, it represents a heartfelt, enthusiastic outpouring of praise to God. It implies that worship is not just about the quality of sound, but the spirit behind it. It's a way of showing gratitude and reverence to God with an exuberant and glad heart, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the challenges are, no matter what you come up against, you still have this worship for God. No matter what your circumstances, your situation may look like, you still take time to worship God. You still have to have that passionate praise. You see, I'm afraid what we're seeing today is folks are sitting down on their praise to God. You too concerned about what people may think and what people might see. You ought to be able to lift your hands wherever you are and give God some praise. You see, because the last verse in this psalm tells us, it says that the Lord is good. Anybody can testify to that the Lord is good. You can say, God, I don't know, but no matter what I'm going through, Lord, you're good. You see, because when you have the Lord is good, you're looking at the Lord. You're not focusing on your own situation. Your whole perception has changed. You're looking at what God is and what God is doing. You're looking at the goodness of God. It takes your focus off your problems and puts your focus right where it needs to be, and that's on God and his goodness. So here in this text, we see Psalms 100 is really a part of what's known as the Royal Psalms, Psalms 93 through 100. This is really like the doxology of this royal psalm here. And it emphasizes God's kingship and sovereign rule over all of creation. Traditionally, this psalm has been attributed to King David. Although its exact author is unknown. Psalms 93, it talks about God's majesty and his eternal reign over all the earth. Psalm 94 talks about God's justice and protection for the oppressed. Psalm 95 is a call to worship and a warning against unbelief. Psalm 96 declares God's glory among all the nations. Psalms 97 declares the righteousness and the justice of God's reign. Psalms 98 talks about the joyful praise of God's salvation and his judgment. Psalms 99 talks about the holiness of God's kingship. And Psalms 100 talks about the worship of a holy and a righteous God. A good God. A good God. I tell you, he's a good God. Each one of these Psalms offers a unique perspective of God's rule and invites worshipers to respond with praise and obedience and trust in his sovereign power. That's what this psalm does. So he starts it out, this Psalm 100, with a shout for joy. In other words, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That means we're not talking about some weak little praise. We're not talking about some quiet little praise here. We're talking about a shout of victory right here. We're talking about when you begin to assess what you're going through and you realize that it was only by the hand of God that you made it out of this. You can give God, you can shout for the victory. Too many quiet Christians when it comes to praise and worship. There's time that we need to shout the victory. We need to give God glory in this place. Because I understand, brothers and sisters, sometimes it takes all of that and some more. Give God praise. Give him the victory. Listen. I don't know if y'all remember. Joy, I don't know if you remember. There was a while back, even after the music stopped playing and I gave the benediction, people still walking around here praising God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about don't limit it to a time frame. Don't limit it to a geographical location. You ought to be able to worship him and praise him wherever you are. Listen. You know that God is not only good at church, right? Yeah, he's been good on your job as well. He's been good in the grocery market as well. He's been good in your community as well. This is not the only place where God is good at. So why you want to limit it to coming in here and lifting up your hands for 15 minutes and then going home and going back to the same old stuff you're going back to? I double dare you to try lifting your hands in the middle of your workplace and being to give God some praise right there. I dare you to do that. You realize that there are times that the places where you tried, where you worship, where you praise God at is blessed just because you're there. Just because you have decided to be one that will praise God regardless of your circumstances, situation, or where you are. Because God honors that. The psalmist tells everyone on the earth to make a joyful noise to God. This means that our worship should be full of excitement and happiness. Ain't no time for no doom and gloom praise. We ought to be excited about what God has done. And not only what he has done, but we ought to be excited about what he's doing for us right now. And then to take it even further, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God's about to do. Yeah, I know there's some stuff that's yet to come that God is about to do. So I take an opportunity to give God some praise for what he's done, what he's doing for me right now, and what I know he's going to do in the future. I give him glory. He said that we are to shout the victory. We're to have some passion in our praise. We're passionate about so many different things. We need to be passionate about our praise. We need to be passionate about our worship unto God. Listen, that word worship is an old English word. And it actually means worth ship worth-ship. In other words, is the person that you're worshiping worthy to be worshiped? And that's what you got to ask yourself. Maybe that'll help you along the way. Is God worth it? Do you value your relationship with God so much that you tell him, Lord, you're worth everything that I have that I can give you. Every praise that comes from my lips, God, I give you the fruits of my lips in worship and praise, adoration, lifting up God. Because he is worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb of God. He's worthy because he took away our sin debt. Because he died on the cross. One Friday, he died on the cross for our sin. He gave his life for us. This is an invitation to all of us for what Christ has done for us. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. He's worthy to be praised, I tell you. If you just take that 15 seconds to just stand on your feet and give God a praise right now. If you would, just stand up and for 15 seconds, let's just give God a praise. He's worthy to be praised. He's so worthy. God, don't do nothing else, God. Lord, you're worthy. We praise you today, God, for who you are, God, and what you're doing in our lives, God. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. He died for our sins, was buried, rose on the third day. And right now he sits at the right hand side of the Father and he's praying, making intercession for all of us. He's making intercessions. He's going to come back again. And understand, don't you be caught sleeping when he comes back. Because the Bible said that he's going to come back as a thief in the night. In other words, you won't even know when he's coming back. But he is coming back. My question to you is, will you be ready? I just pray that when he comes back, I'm somewhere praising his name. I pray that I'm worshiping him and giving him praise. Because that's what I was created for. It's an invitation to worship. I'm inviting you to worship. Listen, we're going to look at this a little bit further next week, so... You had planned on being here next week? Come on back through. We got part two for you. Amen. Come on, the door to the church is open. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. I told y'all I was going, and I'm right on time. Come on. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good. Come on, anybody know that he's good? Come on.
Your mercy endures forever.
Yeah, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship.
afternoon, Macedonia Baptist Church. To Pastor Minor and the entire church family, we have come in today by Christian Experience, Elfrida Sweeney, and she's coming from Metropolitan Baptist Church. We also have come in Jaden Mackey, and he's coming by Christian Experience. He's returning home.
Amen. Amen. Please stand to your feet. Jaden, young man, I am so proud of you, man. Listen, I had this young man in teen council, man, a tremendous, tremendous soul. And we know that God has some great things for you to do here. Amen. And you know we love you, man. All right? All right. God bless you. I spoke to you last week, and you came on down the aisle. Well, praise God. We thank and praise God for you. We don't take it for granted. We know that you could have been a part of any other church, but the Holy Spirit led you here. And we're going to bless God for you. We're going to ask that you go with Reverend Bennett, and they will have prayer with you, have you fill out some paperwork, and then we'll give you the right hand of fellowship on next first Sunday. Amen? All right. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon again, Macedonia. These are new members as of today, September the 1st, 2024. As I call your name, would you please come down front and face Pastor Minor? I'm going to start with the candidate first. We have Courtney Wilson Sr., and by Christian Experience, we have Alicia Smith. Doesn't seem like she's here. Okay, that's it.
Amen, Brother Wilson. How you doing today? Good. Listen, we're going to ask that you make your public profession of faith, and that's simply saying that I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If you say that aloud for the congregation to be able to hear as well. Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen here. You made your profession of faith. How long will you serve God?
Forever.
Forever. Amen. That's a good, good answer. Good answer. Will you make it a commitment to come to Sunday morning worship service and Sunday school Bible study that you might grow? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. You need to hear the word of God. Will you commit to coming to church on Sundays? Amen. Listen, will you commit yourself to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that we're to go into all the world making disciples, and a part of that, God includes us with that. Will you share your faith with other people? Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, please stand up and turn around. This is your new church family. Amen. Amen. We put our arms around you with love. We would ask that you sit over here to the side here that we might be able to give you communion first. Amen. I'm going to ask now that we will prepare ourselves for our communion. The warning concerning taking communion comes from the seriousness of the nature of communion. Communion is actually us remembering the awesome price that was paid for our salvation. This is a very serious part of worship service. It is one of two ordinances that were given to the church. The seriousness of the Lord's Supper, Scripture, so then whosoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And that be found in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 27. There's consequences behind that. In 29 and 30, it says, but for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep or have died. There's a call for us to examine ourselves. In verse 28, it says everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of this bread or drink of this cup. It calls for a self-examination. Not the person sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you. You need to examine yourself. You need to look within yourself. If there's any unconfessed sin, even if you have been born again, if there's any unconfessed sin, you need to confess it to God. You need to repent before you take of this communion. If you have not been saved, and what I mean, if you got to ask the question, what does that mean? Then probably you're not saved. But that means that if you have not received Christ in your heart, not talking about intellectually, but if you have not received him in your heart, you have not been backed up by a supernatural changing of your life, then I'm asking you to refuse this. Because of this, many are sick, and there are some that even sleep because they've taken this unworthily. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. As I pray, I'm going to ask you to pray yourself that God will forgive you of your sins. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do, Lord. And we ask right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, because you told us that we could, that if we confess our sins, then, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. So, Father, we come confessing every sin, everything that exalts itself against you. We confess it right now in the name of Jesus. We know that there's power, wonder-working power, in the name of Jesus, God. And we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would dip us and wash us in your blood, God. That you would cleanse us, Heavenly Father. That, God, we might be fit to take this communion. Now, Father, we're praying that you'll bless the elements of this communion. That, God, you'll bless those who will serve it, God. That you'll bless those who will receive it, God. That, Lord, you might be honored in this. We remember what you did at Calvary. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask that you stand to your feet. Come from